deep in the dune seas of Maya lies Mareel, the last standing city of Mashkala. This is a city of magi and mystics, thieves and cutthroats, a city where the shadows themselves watch your every move. In this place, a band of unlikely adventurers will come together to unearth ancient artifacts, hidden temples, and a plot that threatens the very fabric of reality. A plot beyond the control of the gods above and below is unfolding. In this dark time, a folk story has come to light, and the only hope for the survival of the city and all of creation may be a legendary artifact known as the Crown of Queens.
Spoilers, donkeys everywhere. Oh, hi, everybody. So when last we left, so Graziella has achieved her first full transformation into an animal form, marking the first druidic shift in shit decades and decades in Maya, while sparring with Hans on the top deck of the Hexbane, which is the airship that Hans and baking assistants were building outside of the Night Garden. And you guys are currently in the air and traveling from the Night Garden back to Mareel.
Now, this all happened on top deck?
Yes, yeah, this all happened on top deck. So Silent was up in there, and I think you were sleeping, right? Because you were going to sleep under the stars.
I think if I heard a jaguar just like 20 feet away from me, though.
Yeah, you probably stood up, yeah.
And I do think I like tried to do something big again, too. I cast a spell of some sort. I'm sure I was loud.
Oh, I'm sure. So we are literally going to pick up, I guess Silent's reaction is where I'd like to pick this up from.
I think she was just like, this might as well happen. she's kind of like watching this sparring match and then that happens and she was like, whatever. Does she know what a druid is?
I think from a historical perspective, she would know what a druid is in the same concept as, like, we know what Merlin is. We know what a wizard is. Culturally, it's something that was spoken about, but it's not something that anybody knows of or sees. So
making the leap from my friend here can talk to animals and turned into a cat to she might be a druid is probably not something within reason.
No, I think it's pretty illogical leap that you could make.
Right. Yeah.
I also don't think you guys have figured out that I'm actually talking to Gary. I think you all think I'm just having a psychotic break.
Yeah.
I'm definitely on to you. I've been putting it together piece by piece. She's like, I'm pretty sure she was talking to that rat, but I can't prove it. I don't know how I would ever prove it.
I mean, I told you I was talking to him.
Yeah.
Completely obvious the whole time. She's been like talking to him and trying to get everyone else to join in on the conversation, even though we don't speak Gary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Emmerich's not 100% sure either way. He blames the sword.
Speaking with Gary. So they are, they're still going through kind of the motions. Hans seems more amused than anything. This combat looks like it affects him. Not at all. He moves like liquid. So when she strikes, he's just kind of already out of the way. All of the touch is superficial at most. You can just pick up on that fighting form, just kind of watching him move around. He's more just kind of letting her push through the motions so he can see what exactly she's capable of. And I think from just observing it and being in situations, training with the blade, you know, this is probably more for her benefit than it is for his. Kind of letting her find her footing is what he's doing. So I don't know how much, actually, Vanessa, let me get a fortitude check from you.
Sure. And I'm using just Ella's base 12.
It's a lot. It's taking a lot out of you. The physical drain is pretty substantial. And you're starting to feel yourself kind of drift into that sleep state where everything kind of goes tunnel-y.
I'm still a jaguar right now.
Yes, correct.
And I'm just having a moment.
Because you're thinking with two minds. So that's kind of where you're at.
I think I'm going to back off of my fight.
And right.
Have a little sits. take a minute.
So you back off and you kind of sit, and then that sit kind of turns into a lay, and then kind of you let sleep take you, and you just sort of passed out.
Catnip.
Yep. So, you know, this desert air is kind of whipping across the deck of the ship. Ella's asleep.
Do I shift back? Am I sleeping Jaguar?
Yeah, you're sleeping Jaguar. And Hans is just kind of, he's smiling, and he kind of sort of sits, stoops down in this little, where he's still standing and his knees are kind of akimbo, but his butt isn't quite touching the deck. He's just kind of squatting with his long arms on his long knees, and he's just kind of looking. And he kind of looks over his shoulder at Silent and kind of nods at her.
She, just stares at him, squints a little bit. She still doesn't know what to make of this guy. She's like, is that just something she can do now, or what?
I suspected before, but I'm quite certain now. She's a druid. She's a druid that's not bound to a animal form, which opens a whole lot of doors.
Silence, what? Okay, excuse me. She walks across the deck. She's like, I guess.
She jumps overboard.
This is a lot. As she heads to the door back here,
mm-hmm.
She looks over at Plarion.
She's
a druid.
Well, he's asleep.
She just says that.
Or he's probably just kind of blearily waking up.
I was going to say, I'd be awake now because there's a jaguar, like I said, about 20 feet to my left. I was like, a druid, huh? I kind of shrugged my shoulders.
Silent shrugs back. I guess that's just how it is with this group. She goes inside.
Rock on. That's okay. So now you're in Hans's room.
Is this not the way to get downstairs?
So right here is these two corners are how to go up and downstairs. I think there's only, I think the ladder is only represented here on the bottom crew deck. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this ladder leads up. This one right here leads up to this area.
Okay.
But you could have very easily just walked into Hans's room.
Yeah, she just walks in there.
Okay. There's a large circular table. It's covered in sand, but you can actually see the sand itself is slowly moving. And kind of looking at it, you realize that it's a map of the area that you're in. And the sand is kind of a representation of about a 50-mile radius around the airship. And then there's two large bookshelves on either side of the cabin. And then there's just a really massive bed.
You said the magic word. She goes over to the bookshelf.
Cookbooks. Full of cookbooks.
She starts looking, at the spines. Looking for anything in particular.
They're all different. Most of them seem to be handwritten, but not by the same hand. It looks like it's a collection of different cookbooks that have been passed around. There's dog-eared notes. There's, bookmarks. There's different paper forms. There's different bindings. Nothing seems to be about a specific type of baking or, work in the kitchen, but they all seem to be sort of different accounts or recipe collections from a plethora of different of chefs and bakers.
And if she goes over to the other bookcase, is that the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same material. Not the same exact, but it's the same type of material.
Right. She pulls one book off the wall there and flips to a random page.
It's a, let's see. Hold on. I'll tell you what it is. Go to the chart. Why wouldn't there be?
I knew there would be charts.
Of course there.
All right, so does she read or speak Elvish?
Nope.
Okay. She will recognize the language as Elvish, but she doesn't know the material.
She keeps flipping through, trying to find one that she can read.
Let's see. Okay, so there's one that's an older Helic, which is the common tongue, but this would be the equivalent of an Elizabethan. And it seems to describe how to make a very simple sauce. As you're kind of reading it, the recipe is very long-winded.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be like flourishes that it speaks of, ways to incorporate hand gestures into adding the ingredients into the different bowls and vessels that one would be using. And it seems very specific on how these hand gestures should be used.
Hmm. Interesting. I think she's gonna, I don't want to ruin the book, because she wouldn't do that. She shoves the entire book into her bag.
Okay.
Dealer.
Yep.
Dirty thief.
Borrowing. Anything else in the room besides the table, bookcases, and bed?
No, that's all that's in there. It's just two bookcases, the table, and the giant bed. It's very sparsely decorated. For someone so garish, it seems, you know, very skeletal.
Mm-hmm.
But that could just be because everything that was constructed using materials from the night garden.
Gotcha. Okay. She walks back out. She's like, that's not the way downstairs, she says to herself. More for the crowd, particularly Hans. She gives him another look, then goes over to the ladder over here. Is Plareon still asleep?
No, I think he's up by now. What's Plareon doing?
I'm going to make I have some chalk in my stuff. I'm going to draw. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I wanted to check the constellations with how long we've been gone.
Right.
Like in relation to where we are, where we're going, and how much time has passed since like the last time I saw the sky, pretty much. I guess it would have been before the last mission.
How much time has passed since you've left Muriel the first time, or just...
Just in general, like how... Since we left Muriel the first time.
It's been about a month and a half.
Oh, so, I'm able to plot... That's all I really wanted to do is work that out on the deck of the ship and kind of plot out where it is in relation to the other cities and stuff. So.
Yeah, you feel like it's probably been about a month and a half, maybe a little longer.
Okay. That's cool. Well, if I can figure all that out, since, you know, it's the middle of the night and I'm not bothering anybody and I can see the stars. After I do that, I'll go back.
Rock on. So then to answer that question, yes, Plareon is asleep when you come back out.
Okay. Graziella is also asleep over here. Okay.
Yes.
Jaguar, Graziella. All right.
You can come give me chin scritches.
I could do that.
I might bite you.
I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What's Hans doing? Just chilling?
Yeah, just chilling. He looks in thought.
Mm.
He looks ponderous.
Well, I'm on a mission, so I'm going to go downstairs, climb down this rope ladder, he said.
Yep.
Okay, climbing down the rope ladder to the next deck.
Which should be the cargo deck.
Cargo deck. What do I see?
There's a closed door here.
Mm-hmm.
So as you climb down, you kind of go into the internals of the ship. There's a large bay area that's kind of neatly ordered with boxes against either side. There's two closed doors, one to the north and one west. The west door is closed. The north door is closed, but you can kind of see through the little window at the top of it. It's got like a little porthole window. And it looks like a kitchen area.
I think she goes into the kitchen area, pokes around in the, are these like shelves?
Yes, there's two, they're about 4 foot tall, counters, and underneath them they have a lot of drawers and cabinets, that are full of, very minimal, ingredients.
Okay.
And then there's like a stone, and metal set up like cooking surface with a like a large oval indention space that seems to have a few stones in it that have perpetual heat spell cast on them. And then there's a circular basin that is full of water that you're also guessing is coming from some sort of enchantment or magical source.
Gotcha. Okay. But there's no ingredients or anything in here.
Oh, no, that's what's in the cabinets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She takes that book back out, flips to the page she was on. Let's make a sauce.
Okay. Roll me. 2d20. Not bad. All right, so you're going to set to work making a sauce. We will get back to what's happening. So Hans picks up Graziella, just kind of puts her over his shoulder. And
is he that big?
Yeah, he's big. I mean, Hans's size shifts slightly from time to time. He's anywhere between 8 and 12 feet tall, depending.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
He's big. Yeah, he's really tall. And really, really lanky. And a troll. Not human at all.
And he throws me over his shoulder. He doesn't, like, princess carry me back. Hell, dude.
You're a giant fucking jaguar.
Yes, but he is giant as well. I am bulky and petite.
It's less like throw you over the shoulder like a sack of potatoes, more like sleeping baby over the shoulder kind of carry.
Okay, that is fine.
He'll step here.
He throws me over the deck.
Well, he steps over the edge of the ship, not on the, like, not on the rope net, or the
ladder.
The rope ladder. There's no one really there to see that, but he just kind of wind walks down and walks back into the ship. Down on the crew deck.
I am asleep, or I would have been terrified.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'd have been scary as hell. So then he walks in here, sits you down on the bottom bunk, pats Pyre on the head, walks back out into the main hallway.
No, I'm in your room silent. I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Emric, roll a perception check.
Does Pyre care that there's suddenly a sleeping jaguar in the room with them?
Oh, probably not. A Pyro would probably see it as like a giant blanket and curl up in the fur.
Oh, okay. I let him.
Emric, you're awoken by a sound of a knock at the door.
Get up and answer the door.
And there's a purple suited troll standing there.
I'm guessing the training has not gone well.
It went well. Come with me.
Follows him out.
And he walks you to the door and just kind of lightly pushes it open, and you can see a jaguar sleeping on the lower bunk of the bed.
Emric tenses up a bit. Had her fight a panther?
She is that panther.
Is this the sword doing this?
No, I don't think so. If I was to guess, there's been some reality adjustment. Somebody slipped sideways. And she somehow now is restructured from a cosmological level to a nature-based caster. Historically, they're known as druids. You processing it okay, buddy? He just puts a hand on your shoulder.
It's a lot.
Is this basically like Hans telling everyone, like, well, she's the wizard. Like,
yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. She's a wizard now. You're a wizard, like, Harry.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, if someone showed me someone I've known for a few months and be like, she's a mermaid.
Yeah. She's a unicorn now.
Yeah. Plus throwing in all this, like, cosmological babble, like, I don't... Yeah, Emric's a little lost for words at the moment. I don't understand.
I might be able to help you with that.
And he reaches in and, like, just slowly closes the door.
Yeah, let me show you something, my friend. And he walks you back to this back door back here. And he puts his hand on the front of it. It's just a wooden door, but it doesn't seem to have any kind of lock or doorknob. He puts his hand on it, and there's like a slight pulse. You see it with the emerald eye. There's like a slight pulse of energy around it, and the door opens. And he says, come on in, let me show you something. And you walk into this room. It's a 15 by 15 foot square room. It's 15 foot tall. There's a stone chair sat in the center of the room. And around the stone chair is a very, very intricate circle of magic. That hovers off the floor about 6 inches. You're kind of looking at it, and you realize that it's multiple layers of casting. There's a layer of this that is all divine magic, and then there's a layer of this that is all arcane magic, and then there's a layer of this that's all natural-based magic. And then there's another layer that is unlike anything you've seen before, and it's the layer that's moving, and it just kind of fluctuates back and forth between the three layers, kind of passing through them. And as it turns, it flawlessly kind of fits through, like you would put a key through a lock. and it works its way all the way down through the three, and then it works its way back up through the three. And while you recognize the trappings of each of the traditional three styles of magic, this fourth energy source is unknown to you. It doesn't cause you pain or discomfort looking at it, but it's just not something that you've ever seen. And Hans just kind of squats down in his traditional fashion and puts his hands over his lanky knees and his kind of long fingers kind of knuckle to the ground. And he points one out without moving his wrists off of his knees to the moving shape. And he goes, "What do you think that is?"
Pointing to the energy source that's traveling through the other three.
Yes, moving up and down.
Some sort of unknown to me form of magic seems to interact with the other three.
You notice how it passes through them flawlessly?
Yes.
No, the other three forms, they don't mix. You can't mix a divine and an arcane. You can't mix a nature-based and a divine. If you could, I think a lot of the world's problems would be solved. Think about the majority of the conflicts and wars that we see here on Maia. It's religious sects fighting with powerful wizards. It's nature-based magus living in the deep wood, who are using the nature-based abilities to benefit their groves, and then being set upon by an arcane caster or someone who is drawing their power from a god or a goddess who believes that the way they should be doing things is the right way. You have an individual calling upon the arcane and weaving it, these magical forces in their own way. Each of the three forms is separate. It exists as its own, school, if you will. This fourth form exists outside of that. It's its own school. We've been working on it for quite some time. It's actually what keeps this ship in the air. It keeps a lot of things going. It's actually inherent in a lot of magics. It's almost an underground thrum, a base magic that exists beyond the three forms. It's interesting, and I think that judging by your reaction to the world around you, you, much like this fourth form, don't necessarily fit in the molds that have been created for you. Your faith is shaken. You seem to be a being out of place. But sometimes when something's out of place, it's not because it doesn't belong there. It's because it belongs everywhere. You see how it moves flawlessly? It can step in and out of different forms of magic. That's kind of how you travel through the world. Or at least that's my observation. Thoughts? And he just kind of looks up at you.
I understand what you're saying, but I wish my transition was as seamless as what I'm seeing here.
How is it not? What is causing you problems right now, aside from the ward that you must watch over? Where are you stumbling?
I spent a good deal of my life believing in stories of the faith and the brotherhood doing right. And when I was finally allowed into that realm, it was nothing but petty arguments, blindsided hatred, much as you have stated. When I was cast out of that and brought into the folds of Graziella's mother service, it was too clandestine. I found myself too clunky to fit into that.
So not quite thief enough to be a thief, and not quite holy enough to be a holy man.
Roughly, yes.
Do you prescribe to any rituals? A mantra, something you follow day to day, something you do, wake up and perform, and it helps to center you.
As much as I've been shaken by my experience in the church, praying does help. Focusing on how I perceive my god Kronos does help. My father used to say that as he traveled back and forth through time, his wings would uncover secrets in the sand. I always found that an interesting idea, finding things that have been hidden.
You do realize that your deity exists outside of these three schools as well.
How so?
Time is not constrained by a beginning or an end. There isn't a novice that moves on to an apprentice and continues to climb the ranks of hierarchy. Even in the natural magics, there is a hierarchy. With the arcane, it's book learning. With the religious, it's religious sects and cults. But With Kronos, time is fathomless. There is no beginning.
I think I see.
If you don't worry about what was or what will be, and you just live in the now, then you do not burden yourself with guilt or regret, and you do not stress yourself about what comes tomorrow. If I told you that in the morning you were to jump from the deck of this ship into the sand, possibly dying, would you worry about it as you went to sleep tonight?
I suppose if that were the case, I would not be getting much sleep, but if it were deemed inevitable, I suppose not.
And with time, all things will come. You can't stop the flow of it. So regardless, the hypothetical jumping from the deck of the ship into the sand was going to come, no matter what happened. So worrying about it would only cause you distress. Your last moments would be spent in fear. If you chose not to succumb to that fear, you just enjoyed the time that you had and took that moment as it came, then you would have more clarity.
Is that how one focuses this energy that I'm seeing?
That is. That is the core of this energy you're seeing.
Live in the moment.
And only in the moment. That is how Graziella was able to achieve a higher state of being and tap into the gifts that she has been bestowed. She stopped worrying about vanity or being caught up with things like rulership, being caught up with ambition. She let go of her ego and just lived in the moment. And in that moment, she was able to achieve transition, giving herself more strength and power. That's really all this is about at the end of the day. The game is really put in place to cause fear and instill control. But to break the game, to work outside the bonds that have been placed on Maya by those above and below, is to only live in the now and not concern yourself with what came before or what comes after.
What game?
The grand game. There's a game that's being played between those who walk and those who watch. It is dominance. It is control. The more belief that one side or the other gains, the more control that they have over the prime and the existing planes around us. The more control they have, the more influence they have, the more belief they have, and they feed upon that belief. The outer gods, your Kronos, your Volkos, those who exist outside of the spheres of simple servitude and religious cults, they aren't concerned with the game other than shepherding over those affected by it. But those playing it, they are manipulating the world around us. I'm here to break the game.
And how do you plan to do that?
There's a flux current, like this fourth form that moves through the three schools. Realities are shifting on top of each other. I'm not quite sure where those points are overlapping yet, but there is change in the wind. I believe that the original shepherds of Maya, old draconic forms, are going to return. And when they return, they could return to a world that is ready for them, or they could return to a world that has been thrown into chaos. There are forces at work in the Silver City and in the Pit that are trying to create order under their ideals. I believe that there are other realities that butt up against our own. And I believe that there are doorways or beings who plan to cross over, who already have crossed over, and they are attempting to create a monotheistic pantheon where a trinity rules in Maya and no other forces could have sway. These three would control the three schools, and this fourth form would no longer exist. There would be one above who controlled the divine. There would be one below who controlled the arcane, and there would be one in the prime that controlled the natural forms of that. And I believe once those three entities rise to power, they would become the overarching force that swayed the rules of Maya.
That's why you were shaken when we told you about the clockwork device we found.
Indeed. The rules were set about after the first spells left the prime material, the children of the first worm, the seven. I believe that the horsemen, the balancing forces that keep Maya in check, have been disrupted. And I believe that these three, trying to create this monotheistic pantheon, this trinity, if you will. I believe that they are responsible for it. Do not have enough information yet to know exactly how, but this fourth form is the form I follow, the form of the Thief Lords. It is the form that gives me my strength and the form that gives my brethren their strength. And I believe that this is the force that this trinity is trying to stamp out, because it is uncontrollable. Like time, it only exists in the moment, in the now. No, it's a lot of information. Like I said, this is the point I've been trying to get to for a minute, so by all means, process as you need it.
How would they go about controlling these? What force would they be usurping?
I believe the Silver City has already fallen. The divine magic flows from there. I believe that there is, they are using the other forms to control the static form. So natural magic has been used to usurp the Silver City. Natural magic has been used to usurp the divine. I believe that they are currently trying to use divine magic to usurp natural magic in the prime. And I believe that natural magic will be used to usurp the Arcanos magic in the below. But they first must have all of the druids bend the knee and gain their strength. My various influencers around the world have told me that there are covens of older witches, the women in white, who are working to seek out any of the druids still caught or existing in their animal forms and call them from the prime to gain influence over their glaives.
And what about this new piece that has just been in
the fourth form?
No, the one that's asleep in the room over there.
Well, that's why I'm keeping her close. She could help us balance the scales. If they don't take her, then they do not have full sway over the nature-based magics.
And if there is a force running through all three, could it not be used to pair or transfer things from one to another?
Oh, indeed it could. Think about it. There is a natural-based magic user asleep in that room, cradling an Ephraim's razor, which is the purest form of this fourth form of magic you see floating. So not only is it nature-based, but it contains the fourth form. Now, what I am in need of is a divine caster who can tap into the fourth form. And he just kind of looks up at you.
We had a devil of a time getting that one sword.
That one sword? The Ephraim's?
Yes.
Oh, you like that sword, don't you?
Indifferent.
What about that one? And he nods.
He nods?
Mm-hmm.
To?
Something behind you.
I turn and he turns and looks.
Now, it wasn't there before, but just leaning casually in the corner, gleaming like a single Mercurian blade, sits an Ephraim's razor. So Silent, in the kitchen, as you're working through the recipe, mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll me two dexterity checks.
Dexterity.
Oh. Ooh.
They're both eight.
So as you're going through the hand motions, you're focusing a little bit more on this semantic components,
mm-hmm.
And you're having a really hard time making this sauce come out right, and it's been wrecked twice. It tastes okay, but it's just too gritty. It feels like it's supposed to be some sort of caramel sauce, but it's just clumpy and gritty and weird. But I'm sure you're gonna take the 20 and just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it.
Yeah, I think she flips through the book a few times to see if there's anything else that she could decipher, but she keeps going back to that one. She's like, well, it's probably not supposed to taste like this.
So as she's working, you don't even hear the door open,
mm-hmm.
but she goes to reach, Silent goes to reach for an ingredient that's on the counter, not kind of looking, and finds that it's about 2 inches higher than it was when she turned around, or when she put it down earlier. And she looks over, and there's one of these kind of large dwarvish women standing there holding the ingredient for her to take.
Thank you. He takes it.
And the woman nods. She kind of just kind of steeples her hands under her chin, and she's watching you work. And as you move your hand, she kind of motions as if asking permission to touch you.
She shrugs. It's like, all right, what is...
So she puts one hand underneath your elbow and the other hand kind of on your bicep, so she's sort of standing behind you, Mm-hmm. And as you start working, she kind of helps guide your hands.
Is she ghosting me?
Pretty much. And as you kind of move through the motions, after about 15 minutes, the sauce seems to be working. And then the last three kind of hand motion components, she shows you with kind of an intricate finger play over it. And then she kind of motions to you to attempt it and then steeples her hands again.
She watches this display and then it's like, oh, you just, like, she tries it.
Okay, go ahead and roll a d20.
All right. Good at this cooking thing.
No, it's okay, because you had a slight advantage there. So as she moves her hands, there's a small spark of arcane light, and it hangs in the air ever so slightly. And while you've never cast a spell before, you've just managed to cast your first cantrip.
Oh.
And there is now a mote of light that floats above the sauce and kind of all starts to crystallize in your mind that maybe these aren't just cookbooks, but maybe each recipe is indicative of a type of spell.
Each recipe is a spell?
Yes.
She asks the lady.
And the lady nods.
Oh, shit. I probably should have this. She holds the book out to her.
And the woman pushes it back into your hand.
I wish I picked a better one I could read more of.
You learned it all in time.
Oh, you do talk.
Only when necessary.
Hmm. Have I seen this lady before?
Yeah, she's one of Hans's three.
Mm-hmm.
And Silent now can add to her character sheet the ability to cast zero level cantrips.
Does the sauce taste any good?
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's a light caramel sauce.
Hmm. She like takes a finger and probably burns herself like tasting it. It's like, it's not bad. I was hoping to put this on pasta or something, but I don't think this is the right sauce for that.
There's some laughter. And now pasta, that's a difficult one to make. And she reaches over and starts to open drawers and pull out flour. Shall we attempt it?
How long do we have?
We have all night.
Let's give it a try.
All right. We're going to move up to the top deck. Plarion snoring gently underneath the starlit sky, just regaining all those spells and hit points. What Plarion misses is that Gary has come up to the top deck of the ship, and he kind of walks over and steps up on the rail and is just kind of looking out at the sand sea as it stretches out into every possible horizon. And he just kind of smiles, happy to be above ground. And it's just thankful to have found a party that he can travel with.
So he starts singing Somewhere Out There?
No, but that would have been really funny. And he just kind of drops down and pulls a little blanket up over Plarion. It takes him a good 5 or 10 minutes to lift the whole of the blanket just to make sure he's tucked in. And he pats Plarion on his forehead with his little red hand and proceeds to go back down the little rope ladder and back into the ship. Back off to do Gary-like things. Ella dreams peacefully. She seems to have reconnected part of her that was missing. Kind of dreamless nights and sleep wanderings don't take her tonight. It seems like she's kind of back, or at least gotten something back that maybe she had always been missing. And Emmerich stares at a sword in the corner, weighing whatever decisions might be on his mind. So what's he gonna do?
So as he's staring at it, he has pulled out his holy symbol and is kind of holding it, thinking about what Hans has said about his deity and, you know, Kronos' place and this pantheon that he was talking about. And he looks back at him and says, I'm not going to start talking to rodents, am I?
Oh, no, I believe she does that because she can speak with animals. It's a druid thing, I think.
May as well jump off the airship. And he reaches for the sword.
Awesome. Now, as this is happening, let's jump back in time slightly. So Ella wakes up in normal Ella form. You can switch out Jaguar for regular. And Pyre is curled up on her lap. You feel refreshed. You feel you remember everything. There isn't like any loss of clarity or personal self or anything like that. You feel fine. You remember it all, but you're back in your normal cat folk form. And you kind of wake up relaxed and this little fire demon is sitting in your lap, sound asleep. What you doing?
Does that count as a night's rest? Do I get like...
Yeah, it's a full night's rest. Yeah. You get everything back. It's a full night's rest.
And I remember that I turned into a jaguar.
You
do. Like, it doesn't seem like some weird fever dream.
No, it's there, and you kind of remember it. You even sort of remember the mental and physical steps that you had to go through, flexing right and thinking in a certain way to take on that form.
I think I'm going to take a minute and generally just bask in how awesome I am now. And like stroke my little friend's fire hair. I don't know. Just like having a quiet reflective moment to just be like, yeah, that fucking happened.
Yeah.
Is there like a window or a porthole? Can I see if it's daytime outside or?
No, you kind of feel that it's still evening. If you go down here to this part of the ship, this whole area is actually a transparent.
Okay. So, but in my room, I was just like,
yeah, no, not in your room. There's no, okay. Yeah, it's pretty cramped quarters in here. It is a ship.
Yeah. Then I think I'm just going to hang out, take a moment, hang out. Listen, see if I hear anyone walking around, but otherwise I'm gonna stay put.
You can hear a conversation. Sounds like Emmerich is talking to somebody.
Oh, can I put my ear against the wall and listen?
Well, I mean, you could probably just scoot over to the door and see him.
No, I don't want him to know I'm awake.
Okay, then yeah, you can hear them. You can hear Hans and Emmerich talking about Ephraim's razor and reality and things of that nature.
Okay, I put aside Fire Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And like inch closer to the door till I can see them, but trying to like stay hidden. I want to see Emmerich take the razor.
Yeah, that's so. As you kind of peek around the door, you watch him reach down and pick it up.
I stand up and walk the fuck in. Like, so you're just giving these away now?
Hans looks up at you. Oh, good, you're awake.
So when you're just giving it to him, we had to go through so much to get mine, and now he just magic gets one.
I believe that he's earned it, and it wasn't mine to give. This is not a decision that I made. It's a decision that was offered to him. I am merely the executor of the decision being offered.
I look at Emmerich. Does he look happy? Does he look happy with his new sword?
Are you happy? As Emmerich picks it up, you kind of feel this energy pass through your body. Kind of crawls up your arm and flows through you, and you do feel as if you lose something, but it's not a loss that you're saddened by, because what you're losing is a sense of dread. There has, for so long, even before you joined the Church of Whispers, been a sense of foreboding, of looming, of being chased, of being judged, of being hunted. There has been a fear of a decision that's out of your control being made, whether to cast you out or cut you down. There's been a fear that someone is after you, multiple groups are trying to get you. There's been a fear of things that will eventually hunt you down and lead to your end. And all of that fear is just washing away. It seems to drift off of you and just feel more aware of your surrounding, more vibrant. As you pick up the sword, which is nearly weightless, you also now feel the burden of that worry, that anxiety drifting off of you and till it's non-existent. And you can't help but smile. You do feel more comfortable. You do feel more calm and more in touch with your deity than ever before. Time in this moment is good, and living in this moment is good. It's comfortable. It's warming.
Gratiela, I feel as if things are going to be better. I don't know if we will save the world, but I'm going to save my church.
I like pull out my Ephraim
mm-hmm.
and hold it up in front of my face like I'm looking through it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like... Yeah, they're really cool. You can see through them as well. And I look at him through my razor and I smile. I'm waiting for him.
As you're looking at him, you see that there's five rings. One made of a shade of purple and one made of a shade of white, and one is passing from down to up, and the other is passing from up to down. And they move through these three stable rings that wrap around this chair.
Oh, on the chair?
Mm-hmm.
That is. I like hold, I'm like, Emmy, put your sword up. I'm like holding it up, like, where are you doing it? Hello. I like look at him with a look like, you still work for me, bro.
I hold the sword up to my to his eyes.
And you can't see through the blade. Hans just kind of puts his hands on his temple. Oh, God. They don't all work the same.
So I guess that mine is better, so that, is, that she seems
was actually losing it again.
I don't. I would assume that hers has some sort of true sight ability or detection or something. I have no idea what any of them do. Only the wielder knows what their blade does. And that information is imparted upon them by the blade itself. In time, I'm sure, it will make its abilities known.
And Emmerich sort of gets a feel for it, kind of swinging it around a bit, but not, like, hard.
I don't know.
I start to, I, like, hit your sword with my sword. Like, a little play training session. I'm not trying to hurt you in any way.
No fighting.
Little kids playing with sticks.
Yeah, yeah, you know? And the hands is just like, no fighting in the jammer room, please. Go on. Get out of here.
On the way out, I, like, summon a spatula and throw it at Emmerich on my way out the door.
I try to deflect it.
The hands picks up the spatula off the floor and walks out of the jammer room and closes the door behind him. Just, I swear to God, he's back down.
As we're like in the hallway together, Emmy and me, I'm just like, Emmy, you seem happier than you have been in a very long time. Are you happy to be going home, or is it because the sword is like really cool?
It is a wonderful sword, but it's probably a mixture of different things. Going home, learning things. Hans talked to me about my faith and sort of confirmed things I was feeling. Just a bunch of different things, I think, making up this moment.
Oh, speaking of things, I mean, I turned into a different kind of cat.
So I've heard.
I turned into a giant jaguar, and I was a very good fighter, and then I was fighting Han. It was glorious. I don't quite know how I did it, but I'm going to work on to do it again.
Maybe you get a whole handle on that before we get back to your mother. That might not be something we want to surprise her with.
Yes. Yes, Emmy, I think you are right. I think maybe we don't tell Mom about anything knew that I am able to do, and we certainly do not tell my sister.
No.
But I'm excited to see her, and I think that she will be happy to see me, and she will be happy that you brought me.
Your sister or your mother?
My mother, not my sister. She's a bitch. Nobody wants to see her.
I am certainly hoping that your mother will be happy that you are home and will overlook the several months that we were gone. As long as you are in one piece, I'm sure she'll be just fine.
Yes, and now I can be in all kinds of different pieces, and I like think about being a jaguar again. I don't try and turn, but I just like think about it, like, how did I do that?
Yeah, you can definitely feel the shifting, like it's there, and it brings to mind the possibility of other forms, but you're not quite that honed yet.
So I've had a full rest, so I'm like ready to go. I'm like what are we doing, guys?
You've had a full rest. Emmerich is arrested. Plarian is arrested. Silent is has constructed a bowl of pasta, a light red sauce, a very simple bread recipe, and some caramel sauce.
Can I smell it?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually you can.
I too can, Sam. Follow my nose to the smell of that delicious pasta sauce.
Okay. So you kind of make your way upstairs. Is Emmerich going?
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are upstairs. Plarion, you've kind of awoken to the general emptiness of the top deck. What are you up to?
Well, I smell food being made, and I hear, you know, people below me. I'll get down.
Okay, cool. So you guys kind of come down here Silent is in the kitchen. The door is open, and she is just like, she's got flour. She's now wearing an apron. There's lots of little dishes being prepared all through the kitchen. It looks like she's really getting into it, and yeah, she's quite good at it.
She's feeling it now. She's like, she's kind of made her own little shorthand with this big lady who she's with.
Right.
Like, could you give me the you know, and she knows what she's talking about somehow.
And one of the three is just there to assist. So she just kind of smiles and hands. She's clearly competent, but she's not taking the reins. She's not stepping in, or she's kind of just letting you explore and get your feet about you in the kitchen. So she's just there to assist and is very happy doing so.
Have I noticed that people are outside?
Yeah, yeah. I think you can kind of see that they're there.
I would like to walk into the kitchen and like smell what smells really good. Like, what smells best in the kitchen right now?
That caramel sauce is on point.
Okay. I magically summon a spoon and dip it in the sauce.
So when the spoon gets summoned, let's get silent to make a perception check.
Okay. Perception.
Oh yeah.
Oh damn.
One of three stops. And just kind of looks for a second. Well, that is interesting. And then goes back to helping you. But it's like a noticeable, it's the first time that you've seen her full stop at anything this entire time. And she just like very much like, what the hell was that?
These big ladies don't usually seem fazed by stuff, I assume. Exactly.
Not at all. Not at all.
Silent notices Gratiella trying to steal some of the...
I'm not trying to steal it. I'm, like, trying to taste it. It smells really good. I'm hungry. I'm like, ooh, try it. So I'm not, like, trying to mess your shit up. I'm just trying to get a taste.
She almost does that thing where your Italian mother hits you with a spoon.
Right.
And she's like, that's fine. If you guys are hungry, though, I've been at it for a while.
Oh, everything smells amazing, Silent. You're making dinner for everyone.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am.
I didn't know you could cook.
I didn't either, honestly.
So now Gratz is in the kitchen. Emmerich and Plarion are kind of looking through the door. And Plarion kind of sees over his shoulder. You didn't hear him. You didn't hear him, but he's there. And he's just kind of smiling. And if pride could resonate off of a purple-suited troll, Hans is just kind of standing there smiling, like sort of proud in this moment. And he just kind of pats Plarion on the shoulder with one of his big hands.
Thanks.
I think Singleton's... so what's Plarion doing, Jim?
I'm just waiting for the food. I'm looking around. I'm like, I didn't know Simon could cook. Take it back. Tell my morning prayers. Hopefully, get a hold of some of this grub.
Does he say that out loud? I didn't know Silent could cook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hans is like, well, everybody can cook.
I think I saw a movie about that once, starring a rat.
Gary's probably.
Not sure. Yeah,
it's one of his cousins.
It's one of Gary's favorite films.
Yeah, Gary wrote a porno version of it. Dirty, dirty Gary language.
Rat-a-booty. Yeah.
Silent is like, all right, she like waves you guys out. She's like, go find a table or something. It's not a lot of space in here.
We'll get the table down below set.
Thank you. It'll be ready in, I don't know. She shrugs. Whenever it's ready, I guess.
You're ready when it's ready.
Yeah.
So you guys can go set yourselves around the table. Hans happily just like walks out. All right.
I just wanted to, while Silent's cooking, just ask her real quick. By the way, Graciela did turn into a jaguar last night, right?
That wasn't. Oh yeah. No, you're. Okay. That was a thing.
Okay, that was an actual thing. Cool. I did not know that. I just wanted to double check.
I'm still processing that as well. Oh my.
Just remember, there's three big women.
There's not a lot of room around this table. Okay. Eventually, I think she gets it all prepared. To her satisfaction, she's like, well, guess we're eating. What time is it at this point?
It's a little after dawn, so probably around 5:30.
So she looks tired.
Actually, no. Doesn't feel at all.
Huh.
Yeah.
The next question is how to get the food downstairs.
Because
there are rope ladders.
One of three is happy to help. Very much in the same way that the beer women carry all of the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
She can just kind of ladle up all of the plates, and it's just this interesting stacking mechanism across the arms and shoulders and chest that she can just carry it upstairs while walking with no problems.
Gonna have to teach me that at some point.
Oh, you'll learn, I'm sure.
Wearing a lot of thing lately. She goes downstairs.
One of three picks up Gary. Kind of sits him on the edge of the table. And yeah, it's a pretty sizable spread, and tastes quite good. Some of the dishes aren't super complex, but it's enough. It's definitely sustaining, and there's definitely some good work here. You're pretty proud of what you've accomplished.
I love a good tuna wiggle.
Enjoy. Oh, let me get my my baby over here. I think he would come out for food.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep. Any sign of Garglin or the Baron? Do they come out?
I think Garglin comes out. The Baron is sound asleep.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the meal, Simon. I didn't know you were a chef as well as an artist.
She looks to Hans across the table. She's like, I had some guidance? ?
Oh, you just read some good recipes. It was all inside of you the whole time. I'm sure there's some delightful messaging in here somewhere, but you did a good job. There's a lot of information in that book. When you've devoured it all, put it back or pass it on.
Thanks. I do like reading material. Well, have at it, everybody. It's only going to get colder.
I'm grubbing down, man.
Hell yeah.
Into the pasta. I'm carbo loving.
So you guys all eat, and
I tell everyone at the table I turned into a jaguar. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, are we going to talk about how Gratiel's a druid, or are we going to let that one...
Wait, I'm a what?
Well, that's what the big boy over there told me.
I look at Hans, and I'm like, I'm a druid?
Yeah, I thought you knew that.
Why would I know that? That is crazy. And then I turn my fur a different color.
Right.
Interesting.
I thought so as well.
I eat more pasta. I'm not eating any meat. I feel like it's weird now.
So yes, a druid. A druid not bound by the constraints of the animal forms.
Are most druids confined to an animal form?
All that I know of.
So I would be stuck as a jaguar forever.
Correct. But you're not.
No, I'm not. Do you think if I turn into a jaguar again, I will be stuck?
I don't think so. I think the overarching energies that caused that to happen have dissipated. And since there haven't been druids in such a long time in Maya, it doesn't affect you. Now, the next question, more interesting question, is will there be more?
Yes, right now I'm the only one.
Correct.
I am so special and unique.
Yeah, we'll go with that. That's fine.
I scowl at him.
He just kind of looks at you like...
How did you know?
How did I know you were a druid?
Yes.
Because I've been around since before they were locked into their current forms.
So you can just look at me and be like, oh, that's a druid.
Yes.
And you didn't say anything to me.
No, I didn't.
I eat more pasta. I'm eating my feelings.
If I tell you what you are, you don't learn it for yourself. Your journey is not about what I tell you. It's about what you discover.
Just giving him the stink eye and shoveling spaghetti in my mouth.
Do we notice that Emmerich has a new sword?
Oh, I'm sure.
So silence, anyone else got anything to report? Looking directly at him.
I found a sword.
Hey, that looks just like her sword.
I know. Emmy and I are blade buddies now. Stare at Gary a lot and talk to Gary.
Yeah, sure. By all means.
I'm just having a convo with Gary. Just asking him what's up. Telling him I turned into a jaguar. Just being Gary's buddy.
He's telling you about the Grand Library and the Crown of Queen, the Ancient Lords, and just all of this random shit.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm just really connecting with Gary.
Everybody's just kind of watching Graziella talk to a rat.
There's a brief moment before Gary starts speaking. Emmerich looks a little concerned, and then when he starts squeaking again, he kind of nods and goes back to eating.
Silence, this makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, I tell Gary I'm a druid and that's why I can understand him. And like the rest of the group isn't stupid. They just can't understand him. I just assumed they were dumb.
And Gary goes, you're a druid too?
Are you a druid, Gary?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Wait, are you stuck in rat form?
I am.
Oh no.
Rosiella said that.
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, okay.
Yeah. You can understand me. I'm not making noise back at him, right?
I didn't know if this was a Kronk situation or...
Oh, yeah, squeak, squeaker.
Squeak, 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 him, squeak, squeak.
Yeah, so like when she says that, Emmerich like is halfway to his mouth with food and just kind of stops.
Yeah, I think everybody at the table stops at that moment. Wait, what?
Oh, Gary, that is so interesting. You'll have to tell me all about being a druid and you'll have to think we will be druid buddy.
Oh, I can show you all sorts of things.
I would love that. Can you tell me how to turn into a rat like you?
I don't know if you would be able to achieve this form. You have not spent much time around rodents. I did, as there were many of them in the libraries and where I grew up in the Warrens. But maybe I could help you achieve a smaller form? Something you were more familiar with? Something you were around a lot as a child?
Yes, and then maybe the more time we spend together, then maybe I can become a rat and we can go on little rat adventures together.
That might be possible.
That would be great. I think we should work on that later. More spaghetti.
Yeah, so Gary's eating his little one noodle. like going to town on it. And there you go, everybody, trying to figure out what the hell Gary's deal was.
Emmerich looks over at Hans and is like, is the Baron trapped, a druid trapped in goblin form, or?
No, the Baron's a demented vampire that, I think was at one point a blood sacrifice for an unholy kingdom that exists underneath the sands and has long ago lost his mind and is probably better off being here with us than stuck down below.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, I believe that's what's going on anyways.
I find that story oddly more comforting.
I don't know if I'm more comfortable or less comfortable now that I know that Gary is a druid because he left all those notes on my story and he wrote really would you call it erotic
oh yeah. most definitely
erratic.
Well played.
I ask Gary, before you were stuck in this form, what were you?
I was a half elf.
And where were you from?
I was from the royal city of Verlaine.
And you've been stuck in this form for like, what did you say, 500 Susans?
500 Susans, at least.
Do you know any other?
No, most of them were culled. I think they just missed me. I know that most of those who did not align with the new bride of the king were removed from the city or killed quite quickly.
So do I know what that means, new bride of the king?
No, you have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Who's the new bride of the king? What king?
Oh, the Lord of Relaim, the king. He took a new wife. It was normal for him to have multiple, but when she arrived, she made quick work of removing the others from court, and then those who would not bend the knee to her were quickly killed. She abhorred any nature-based or divine-based magics in the city.
Do you remember her name?
I don't. We just referred to her as the Green Queen.
Gulp.
Gary, do you know why she did not like any of the nature-based magics?
I believe whatever spells she had, she had a strange way about her. She could bend all Arcanos or consume all Arcanos that was used on her. And when she could not do the same for divine or nature-based magics. She didn't like them. So she called them from the city quickly. And after the calling, of course, that is when she began to bring all the goblins to the city. Just countless, countless goblins. From all over Maya, all of the different types of the of goblinoid. The espers, the red goblin, deep goblins, the goom tribes, the swamp goblins, brought every goblin she could find to the city and kept them in pits.
She was not a goblin, no?
No.
She just liked them?
I believe so. It seemed as if her bloodline was touched by draconic energies.
All of this is brand new information to Ella?
Yes.
I look at Han, who I assume has been, like, listening, kind of?
Oh, very keenly.
And I'm like, should I be concerned that she is going to find me and come after me? If she's going after all the druids, and now there are two of us together, which is a very rare thing.
I can't talk to the rat. Ask him more about what she was up to.
What do you want me to ask him?
Well, to tell you more about this green queen lady he's talking about. I can understand him. He can't understand me.
I turn back to Gary, and I'm like, Gary, you cannot understand Hans?
Gary shakes his head. No, and I can understand everyone.
Interesting. Well, he wants to know more about the Green Queen. He wants to know where she came from and how she got there and what else she did while she was in the city.
Oh, she was looking for the Crown of Queens.
But you said the Crown of Queens was in your city. She did not take it?
No, she found it and brought it to the city. She was trying to use it to open the dark door.
But she was not successful in opening the dark door.
Oh, no, she was stopped before she was able to do so.
Who stopped her?
The blind man.
Who is the blind man?
Oh, I don't know. He arrived. He came out of a shadow, and there was a bit of an altercation, and then all of a sudden there was an army of red goblins, and then the city fell into chaos, and everything kind of got lost from there.
Were the red goblins fighting for the Green Queen?
Oh, no. They were fighting against the forces of Erlaim.
Oh, no. So it was like all of the green goblins in Erlaim are fighting all of these red goblins who came with a blind man.
That's exactly what it was like. From a visual perspective, it looks exactly like that.
This is fascinating. Can anyone else understand Gary?
No.
So it's but Hans can. Planet conversation.
But Hans can.
Hans can understand everything Gary's saying. But okay. Gary can't understand Hans. But there's a reason for that.
Interesting. But everyone else at the table is just hearing my side of this conversation.
As they're eating. So yeah, it's just there's a lot of glances looking back and forth.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking back and forth between this conversation and Han. And just kind of like waiting for some kind of clarification or trying to figure this out.
Ask him if the doors are to the stables.
Gary, are the doors to the stables? I like stare at Hans like, is that right?
Gary looks. They might be. I guess that would make sense if each of the doors was to one of the stables, and the stable stands between... Oh, that makes sense now. Yes, I do believe the doors are to the stables.
Interesting. I turn to Hans, and I'm like, does that mean anything to you?
And Hans kind of looks at you. I think so. I think it's all kind of coming together now. If
Gary, let me try something really quick. I don't even know if this is going to work, but one of the spells I brought today is Beast Speak.
Do it.
Can I cast Beast Speak on Gary instead of just on myself?
Yes.
I cast Beast Speak on Gary.
All right. Now everybody can understand Gary.
For 10 minutes. Per level. Oh, for a while.
Oh my God, you can really talk. I just thought you were insane.
No. Oh my goodness, Gary, now everyone can understand you.
Oh, hello everyone. And Gary waves.
Oh.
Gary was just telling me the most fascinating story about when the Green Queen came into, Raleem, and killed all of the druids, and there were goblins battling, and it sounds fascinating. Gary, keep going.
Well, if this gentleman at the edge of the table, and he motions to Hans, and Hans just kind of nods, if I can't understand him, you won't be able to. It's okay.
Han says you cannot understand him, but it's okay. Random sidebar. Hans is a troll. Have I ever seen Hans as a troll before? Do I not think this is weird?
You've never seen a troll before.
He just looks different, or does he always look like a troll?
No, Hans has always been a troll.
Okay, JK.
Yeah. Hans has always been a troll.
That's just Vanessa being dumb. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Sorry. He's always been a, he's red and copper. He's It's reddish copper skin with gold flecks, like iridescent body glitter.
For some reason in my head, I was picturing him more draconic.
Well, yes, that too.
Well, that's probably why then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
A little column A, a little column B.
So I'm like, I look at Hans and I'm like, did you want me to ask Getty anything else?
No, no, just let him ramble. I think that's fine. So yes, I believe what the what'd you say his name once? Hans. Okay, what Hans was saying.
Like Hans Gruber.
Ah, yes. I've seen that film. what he was saying was if he's asking about the stables, then it would make sense. The stables are portals, spaces between worlds where the mounts of the horsemen exist for when the horsemen need to enter the prime. But they are also nexus points between realities. So if something was to cross from one reality to the next, the easiest way to pass through, if one could gain sway over one of the horsemen, was to use a stable.
And there are stables in Raleen.
I don't know. I don't know if there is one of the doors. I believe
like the door we went through to get back to the Knight's Garden.
Well, those are small versions of the stables. Yes, it's something akin to that, except as opposed to two places on the prime material plane being connected, or a piece of the prime material plane being connected to an outer plane. These would connect two variations of reality. Separate timelines or different causality effects. In one reality, you may have green hair. In another, you may have blue. Slight variations of timelines. There is a possibility that there are larger doors that could be opened that would bring entities from one reality to another.
Do you think that that's where the Green Queen came from?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know her origin.
Hans, do you know anything about the Green Queen?
Yeah, I have. Hans kind of looks at you and says, I have theories, but nothing substantial yet. I'm working on it, though.
If something were to cross over from one reality to another, would that cause some sort of, I guess, like a sieve effect, allowing other things to transition from that reality to the new one?
It would make sense. It would be like puncturing the skin. This is Hans talking. Mm-hmm. It would, like puncturing the skin, it would take a while for a scab and a scar to form to close the wound. So while that wound was open, a slight jostling would cause blood to flow freely again.
What about a person who starts as one thing and becomes another, I don't know, a deck of many things?
That could easily transition.
That's what happened to me.
You could be out of sync with reality. That would make sense. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you were here but gone?
I don't know, but I do sometimes miss periods of time.
So the Graziella of here could have switched places with the Graziella of there.
Oh, I wonder what I was...
Interesting. And Hans is just kind of like taking it all in. You've noticed that he's very into observing and kind of mentally making records of everything.
How much longer till we get to Raleen?
I believe we just left there. We're heading back to Muriel.
I mean Muriel, I'm sorry.
That's fine. I can check. I don't know how much headway we've made. Let me go above deck and I'll let you know. And Hans kind of bops up as he stands and kind of walks out. One of threes, I'll leave as well. That is how they're referred to, by the way.
Very 7 of 9.
I was going to say like a Borg.
Yeah.
Very much so. Leaving you guys kind of chilling at the table with Gary.
So Gary, how did you meet the Baron?
Oh, I found him. He was cold and hungry. So we were able to show him the kingdom. And once we showed him the kingdom, he quickly decided that he would be in charge. And I have no problems with that. So he took over.
Did you have any other druid friends back when you were a half-elf?
No. My glade was fairly large. I protected a large area of the Near Deep, which is a network of caves underneath the Dune Sea. Do you have an area that you watch over?
I don't know. Should I be watching over something?
Well, that's where we draw our power from.
From a specific part of the planet?
Yes, you find a glade, and that is claimed to. The glade becomes your home, your warren. And from there, you put down roots and seeds, and it kind of becomes your focal point. So even when you travel, you picture it in your mind, and you can always return there.
Do we have to pick a place right now? I mean, I just literally found out I was a druid like 20 minutes ago. This is a lot to deal with.
No, but if you find somewhere that you feel drawn to or comfortable around, and it isn't owned by anyone else, because it is always bad form to take glade from another, you might want to put down roots and claim it as your own.
Good to know. Getty, could you tell I was a druid?
Yes.
So you can, like, we have, like, druid dar. We can, like, tell.
Oh, yeah, yes. You would know.
Can I, like, set, now that he's told me he's a druid, can yeah, I, like, you can sense totally, that he's yeah, a druid?
You can totally pick up on it.
Okay. Now I know how to do that for later.
Right.
When is the last time you saw another druid?
Oh, it's probably been at least 750 Susans.
It's a lot of fucking Susans.
Gary, do you know what's caused you to be stuck in this form?
I didn't bend the knee.
To the Green Queen?
Correct.
And she cast some sort of spell or curse?
There was a ritual. Not quite sure of the specifics, but once the ritual went into place, all of us that did not bend the knee were visited by the three, the Queen of Blades, the Traveler God, and the Queen of Witches. And between those three...
Whoa. Is this still what Gary talking to us while we...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm an eighth level, we have 80 minutes. So we have almost an hour and a half of Gary chat time.
I ask him, when you say the Traveling God, you mean Volkos?
Oh, yes, I do. He's looked very kindly upon us.
That would make sense.
That's my deity.
So you have met him? You have met Volkos?
I have. I was in his presence... when he offered me a trade, my immortal form for my life. I was able to stay in the prime material and alive in exchange for being trapped in an animal form. He was able to use the outsider magics that are inherent to him, along with the divine magic of the Queen of Witches and the infernal Arcanos magic from the Queen of Blades.
So it was not the Green Queen that did this?
No.
Why did Volkos make you choose?
It was the only way we could stay alive. He gave up a great deal of his strength to save as many of us as he could.
Oh, so he was helping you.
And he's also very fond of bargain.
If we had not been changed and the blight came to us, it would have corrupted us into something that could be controlled by the Green Queen and others like her.
Do you know how many others he made this offer to?
From what I understand, all druids on Maia.
He just sent out a chain mail, invited everyone. Or was this to your neighborhood druid?
Visited as many as he could.
History question. The domes went up because of the blight.
Correct.
And how long ago was that, remind me?
235 years.
Okay.
One Susan.
I know, I was like, let's figure out half a year. One Susan is half, 6 months is one Susan.
4 months.
Where is my Susan conversion chart?
No. Is there like a Google app that converts time into Susans?
I could keep Susan in a bottle.
Ew.
Susans fly when you're having fun.
Okay, they let Gary talk so that everyone could talk to Gary.
He's just kind of walking around in his little rat feet eating pasta, as Gary is wont to do.
Don't we all?
Do you know what happened to the Crown of Queens?
I believe it's still in the city.
In Raleen? The Crown of Queens is still there?
I believe so.
Isn't that where we just fucking were?
Yes. We just left there.
Son of a biscuit!
Isn't that the city with all the beasts, the large beasts running around in it?
Ah, yes, the Army of Hook Horrors.
A hook horror, you say?
Yes, hook horrors. Terrible creatures.
And they are running all around the city where the Crown of Queens is?
Yes, I believe the Lord still has them all under his power.
What Lord?
I didn't know we were going to Hook Horse, did he?
The Lord of Relaim.
Who is the Lord of...
Lord Relaim.
It's very conveniently named for him.
Named the city after himself?
The city was named after him.
He must have been lord of that city for a very long time.
Well, originally when he and his family came to the Valley of the Crescent Moon in the Desert Sea, they were still alive.
He's no longer alive. Is he a vampire?
I believe, yes. I believe Caleb has been a vampire for a very long time.
Caleb the vampire.
Caleb Relaim.
Caleb Relaim, vampire. Owner of many Hook Horrors.
Did the Green Queen stay in Relaim?
Stay in Relaim. I don't understand the question.
Is she still down there with her husband?
I don't know.
We're going into a city that's been overrun with Hook Horrors to steal platypus. So we make sure.
No, we're going to Mariel.
We're going home. We're going to a city right. that we think is overrun by vampires.
But we left Relaim.
Right. Okay. We're going to our hometown.
It's weird. They're all spelled so similar.
It's almost as if somebody rearranged the letters of Relaim to name the seven cities of Mashkala, the seven cities that create a crescent in the desert.
Deep within the dune seas.
It's almost as if deep within the dune seas of Maya.
Deep within the dune seas of Maya.
If you go back and listen to great old ones, you might hear the moment where it all clicked for me.
Really hard to say Relaim in a weird Slavic accent, by the way. And where we were just were in the city, we were like underground. We weren't in the city proper.
So you remember the giant statue you guys saw when you were coming?
Yeah, that was like outside, right?
So that was in Relaim, but you were looking down on it. So when you kept going down the staircases and everything to make your way down and got to that crater that looked like a giant bowl, and the crater was that walled city, and around the walled city were like those armies of Hook Horrors. Relaim was inside those walls. But again, Relaim could be much bigger than just that walled city. The Seven Jewels of Mashkala, which is kind of what Gary just said, the Crescent Valley is Relaim.
You know, in my head the whole time I was picturing that as underground.
It was underground.
So the whole city of Relaim is underground?
Yes.
That part.
That part.
Yeah.
Okay. Or is there part of Mariel that's underground?
Probably.
But see. I've like never been there, hung out there.
Well, you kind of went down into an underground part of the city to get...
To free a bunch of vampires and curse the city.
Yeah.
Correct.
I seem to also recall being told about a cave where the hounds took their dead bodies.
Exactly.
Yeah, something was eating them or something.
Yes.
It was a long ass time ago. It was like a year ago.
Yeah, a year in real time. But yeah.
Only about a month and a half.
It was two seasons ago, guys. I don't remember that.
Gary is still a resource, by all means. Anyone wishing to speak to Gary can speak to Gary.
Processing once again.
It's crazy. We're going to have two episodes of just talking. Awesome. So she's back in the kitchen.
Yeah, trying to put out fires.
Well, one of three was in there, making sure that nothing burned.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to very much like you, and you seem to have a hard time telling the three of them apart.
It's one of them, certainly.
Yeah.
Can't tell which. I think Silent took out the rubbing that she made of the recipe in the cave. Mm-hmm. That's what she used to base the recipe off of.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
She didn't put the stamp on it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me know if that happens.
Uh-huh. She looks at it again. She's like, oh, doesn't look demonic.
What doesn't look demonic?
She motions to the cookies.
Where'd you find that recipe?
Oh, you know, just around. She lies.
Yeah. And you know that one of three knows you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
You just get that sense.
She slides it over.
That's one of Hans' originals.
How bad of an idea would it be to put this circle on there?
What, the Sigil of Barbatos?
Yeah.
I don't think it would be bad at all. It would probably be easier just to call him downstairs if you wanted to talk to him, though.
Is he downstairs?
Barbatos?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Hans's title.
Oh, shit. Huh, gotcha.
Such a great moment. Just, oh, shit. Jim, can you cut that episode there?
I can do my best, yeah.
Yeah, if we... Graciela had first, for the first time, I think, achieved an animal form.
Wow.
A form of a jaguar on the top deck of the Hexbane, which is an airship. They had just, what the fuck is that?
I'm sorry, emergency alerts. Oh. Tornado warnings around here.
Oh, I was like, do you have an Amber Alert? Is there a child abduction?
No, no.
No, it's just tornadoes. No big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, tornadoes, not a big deal. Sorry.
That's fine. Are you going to be okay?
Oh, sure. If you don't hear from me, you don't know what happened.
Yeah, turn your camera on, Jim, so we can watch.
Jim's not there.
You look for danger.
But!
Auntie Anne.
It's like Twister.
And I'm just picturing you cooking with Brienne of Tarth, and it is
that's,
delightful.
No, that's actually pretty accurate. Yeah, that's fairly
the
accurate.
Big woman.
Uh-huh. The big woman.
She is large though, right?
Like, yeah, they're built like dwarves, but they're human size.
I'd watch that spinoff.
Okay.
What was that, Jim?
Oh, I say I'd watch that spinoff, Cooking with Brienne.
With Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, Silent and the Big Woman. I would watch it.
Today's recipe involves giants.
Delicious. Blade Bunny.
Was that Hans?
No, that was Anton. Holy shit.
Blade Buddies is now a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Buddy, Blade.
It sounds like an 80s cartoon.
Blade Buddy.
Blade Buddy.
I go. You have to go because my mother's paying you.
For why that didn't catch on as well.
Oh, Blade Buddy and me.
Just this angry looking doll.
He's Grumpy Doll. He's Grumpy Gus. It's the Blade Buddy's name. Grumpy Gus.
Two action switchblades in his head.
Anger and anger. So, my wife made me this banging quesadilla. So, I'm sorry, guys.
Can I, like, stare at Gary a lot and, like, I'm having a lot of trouble. I struggle over it every time.
Do you want to know the listeners at home and party? I think Maddie might know this.
Yeah.
Anybody know why it's called Relim?
Can I share? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because young Anton wasn't sure how to pronounce the word realm.
I had never heard the word realm spoken. So every time I read it, I thought the word realm was pronounced Relim. And I really liked it as a word. It's like Menzoberranzan, which is the drow city, is actually pronounced Menzoberranzan, which I hate. I think it's much cooler if it's Menzoberranzan. So I never heard the word realm pronounced. So when I would read it out loud or say it, I would pronounce it as Relim until I was finally corrected, I would say in my early teens. And I loved the name so much that, or the word so much that it just got slightly modified and became this city.
That was from, Gargoyle's Quest?
Oh, yep, Gargoyle's Quest, the Game Boy game.
Yeah. And now every time I have to deal with New Realm beer at work, I keep thinking New Relim.
New Relim, yep. It is one of the first cities in Maya, which is why it has such a long history. And there's so much shit that goes on with it.
Hello, my little handmaidens. It is your old friend, Graciela Anastasia Blackfoot, here with a special deal just for you. We're partnering with a coffee company called Found Familiar Coffee. Their coffee is small batch and very premium. You know Ella would not be drinking subpar coffee, absolutely not. If you want to be queen of your own empire, you should definitely pick up some of this coffee for yourself. And when you buy it, use code OLDMAGICGAMING at checkout. That's OLDMAGICGAMING, all one word. I will specifically make sure that you get 10% off. It is a very good deal. And believe me, I know deals. So check it out now. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Crown of Queens. Emmerich is played by Maddie A. at MG Allen on Twitter. Garglin Yalt is played by Arrow Odd at RPG Home Brewery on Twitter. Graziella is played by Vanessa Singleton at Evil V Cookie on Twitter. Clarion the Unscrutable is played by our Dauphine of Audio at Yoda Jones on Twitter. Silent Nocturne is played by M at GameMaker M on Twitter. Our special guest, the Baron, is played by Matt Garbett at ArtMonkeyMG on Twitter. Our storyteller is Anton at OldMagicGaming on Twitter.